The Lord's really been moving here the last couple of weeks. Some of our services, I haven't preached a whole lot, but I think that's been a good thing. It's a quarter till, but I'm going to preach anyways. I don't think we're going to go too terribly long, but please bear with if you can. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 1 through 13 of chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God said. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet, his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will be following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is a living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray right now that your anointing would be upon me as I preach your word this morning. Father, I pray that the ears of your people would be open to hear, and indeed their hearts would be soft to you and your word. Lord, we come before you this morning, we give you praise. And we ask that your people might be blessed this morning. I pray that as I preach, I would be faithful to you and your word, and that your people would be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, kind of, sort of, talked about encouraging one another daily so that our hearts wouldn't be hardened by sin. That encouragement, that's what we're to do corporately, one another, to encourage one another. That's the corporate job of keeping the heart soft. But there's also a personal component to keeping our heart soft and being ready and living the gospel. Interesting point here is that, well, there's several interesting points. The promise still stands. The promise of God's rest of entering into his rest, which was metaphorically symbolized by entering the promised land. And God said, those who sinned in the wilderness, they're not going there. But even after Joseph and the Israelites went in, they said, this still isn't really the rest, the ultimate rest that God has for us. We're no longer wandering, so we're done with that rest. But not the rest of the work completed. The rest of the work completed is that which is spoken of in Revelations after the judgment seat of Christ, for that great white throne of judgment. After that, some will go to damnation and some will enter into God's rest and be there for eternity. Well, that promise is there. What are the boundaries of the promise in order to receive it? You know, promises come with boundaries. We just don't make. I promise. You promise what? F this, then that. And the promise is basically, if we receive the gospel, then we enter into God's rest. If we are obedient unto God's will and word, then we enter into God's rest. See, receiving the gospel is synonymous with being obedient to God. Because God's first command to us really is to receive the gospel, to receive His Son, to receive what He has for us. Hearing the gospel does not necessarily ensure receiving the blessing of the rest. I've heard the promise. That doesn't mean I get the promise. Having heard the gospel doesn't mean that I have received the gospel. Do you understand the difference? Peggy was talking to us about Napoleon Dynamite, the movie. And she says that the kids get it, the adults don't. See, the kids received Napoleon Dynamite. Adults, they don't. Donna brought home Napoleon Dynamite. She said, we're going to watch this. I said, what? You are kidding me, right? She says, no. Do you have any idea what you're doing here? No, but I'm going to watch it. Her niece had told her it was an awesome movie. We watched it. And I was going, I'm waiting. I haven't seen Awesome yet. See, we heard it, we saw it, we just didn't get it. Gospel's like that. Not everybody gets it. Those who get it are going, why don't you get it? Sometimes it's because we refuse. Our hearts have been hardened. I was kind of hardened against Napoleon Dynamite. Well, we're told here not to harden our hearts to the Lord. Jeremiah 4:4. That's where that one's coming from. Let's see if I can find old Jeremiah. There he is. It says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you men of Judah and people of Jerusalem, or my wrath will break out and burn like fire because of the evil you have done. Okay. It's talking about circumcising our hearts. It's a command to make our hearts soft, to remove whatever's getting between us and God. That extra stuff that's in the way. Get it out of there. This command of the Lord's, and it is a command, quite often is part of the problem. Because we've hardened our hearts and we say, nobody can command me. I will not obey. I'm going to do what I want when I want. And if what I want happens to coincide with what you want, then we're all happy. And if it happens to coincide, most of the time you ought to be happy with that. That should be good enough for you. But that's not what God's asking us to do. He's asking us to keep our hearts soft. We are to make every effort to enter into God's rest. And that doesn't mean that we go down a checklist and said, okay, I did my devotions this morning. I went out and I was a good steward. I paid my bills on time. I didn't swear all day today, and I didn't look at that gal that was wearing the iffy clothing there. I looked away, and you know, I saw somebody in need, and I pulled over and I helped them change their tire. I'm good. Those are all good things, but that's not what God is ultimately asking for. He's asking us to put Him first in our heart. It's not that so we can get a balance thing going here. Okay, it works, it's balanced, so I'm not going to heaven or hell here. Let's see, if I go to the right, then I get to go to heaven. If it goes to the left, I'm going to hell. You know, we tend to think that this is our salvation. It's in the balance. Well, depending upon what my actions are. I'm doing too much bad stuff. This doesn't work so well as a balancing thing. Comes over. And back. So, we look at those things. And that's generally what most people think. And surprisingly enough, even within the church. But that's not what it is. God is telling us, make sure your heart's soft. Circumcise your heart. Put me first. And if we've placed God first in our heart, that doesn't mean that sometimes we're not going to mess up. Hello? Anybody read the story about David? How about Peter? You know, we can pick out all sorts of guys. There isn't one man in the Bible who's without sin except for Christ. Jesus was the only one. And He still is the only one. We're to make every effort to enter into the rest, and we do that by making our hearts soft. Because God will judge the attitudes and the thoughts of our heart. See, it's not the things that we did. It's the attitude and thought of my heart. Why did I do it? Did I do it because I'm seeking to be obedient to God, or because I'm trying to win Him over? Big difference. Big difference. If I do enough good stuff, God will like me. If I do enough good stuff, Donna will like me. The thing is, Donna can't look at my heart. All she can see is the outward expression. But God can actually look in my heart and can see why. Am I doing this for myself, or am I doing it for Him? That's the ultimate question. When God looks at our hearts, are we doing it because we're doing it for us, or are we doing it because we're doing it for Him? See, if I'm being nice to Donna so that she'll be nice to me, I'm not being nice to Donna for Donna. I'm being nice for me. Donna can't tell. Usually, sometimes she can. But God can always tell. He knows. Now, please, don't get me wrong here. We're people, we're human. We never do anything with a purely 100% motive, one direction. There's always levels in there. I mean, if I'm doing it for Donna, there's still a little bit of doing it for me in there. But if I'm doing it for Donna, the doing it for me part is underneath it. That's the point. Is if we're doing it for God, we're making Him first in our heart, and everything else is underneath. And please note, this passage lays out very clearly who God is. For the Word of God is living and active. This is speaking of Jesus. We oftentimes want to think of it as this is talking about the Scriptures. And in a way it does speak of the Scriptures. But it's primarily speaking of Jesus. He's the one who's going to be the judge. He's the one in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us therefore make every effort to enter in rest, so that no one will fail by following their example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Jesus, penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. He judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Oh yeah, just in case you're wondering, Jesus is God. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give account. Revelation chapter 22. Where's it 21? 20. I'm doing good. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. Lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the fire. Down to verse 5. chapter 22, it says, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' This he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy.'" He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." If you had any question, the one sitting on the throne is Jesus. The Word is Jesus. And He's the one who will be judging our hearts, looking at our hearts, looking for the attitudes and thoughts of our hearts. Okay? If our attitude and thoughts are right, our actions will follow. "If you love me, you will obey me," he says in the Gospel of John. Many times in the Gospel of John, he says that. This is the problem with the people in the wilderness. They weren't obeying God. Why? Because they weren't loving God. They hadn't put Him first. It was still all about me. Where's my meat? Where's my water? Where's my comfortable chair? Where's my slippers? They might not have said, "Where's my slippers?" But that's paraphrase. They were more concerned about them than God. David is the prime example of a man who was, he said in Scripture, it says that David was a man after God's own heart. Yet David, we see, was a man who sinned and did terrible things. When he allowed his self to be distracted from who was first in his heart. But God was always first. Please understand that. Now, the point of this passage today is to check your heart. It's a command. It's a warning. Check your heart. Where is your heart? Is it soft to God's will and His commands? Is it? Or is it hard, desiring to find its own way? Or is it following another? We will all be judged, not so much by the works of our hands or the words of our mouths, but by the conditions of our hearts. To whom have you given your heart? What have you done with the gospel? Have you gotten it? Have you received it? Have you put it in your heart? Or have you held it at arm's length? Or just outright rejected it through disobedience? Receive it. Know it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You had a soft heart towards us, that You went and died on the cross for the redemption of our sins. Father God, might we place You first in our hearts so that You are the one who leads and guides all that we do. For out of our heart flows the actions of our hands and the words of our mouths. And Lord, might not the driving force of our lives be self-centeredness and self-purpose, but instead might the driving force of our lives be You and Your will and our desire to follow and obey. Lord, I pray that when You examine each one of our hearts, You will find our attitude and our thoughts to be that of one who is fully committed to You, one who has placed You first and foremost. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close. Great is Thy faithfulness.